I think we know each other. But he, with us, we're having a visitor from PME. Madam, you are more than welcome.
Thank you.
I don't know whether I'll be doing justice if we just jump in to familiarize ourselves about the people present here, so that also we know the lady who visited us. I'll start on the right hand side. My name is Pat Bande, the chairperson of the committee. Without wasting any time, today our program, in our program, we have only two items. But allow me to start with the first one, and the other one will come when it arrives at it, which is the thing on the impact of the cross-border taxi act on road transport between South Africa and neighboring countries. I don't like to give a background and whatever, but I would suggest to give this opportunity to our content advisor to maybe start to give an input.
Thank you, Chair. Chair. I think it's necessary that we do a background, but we'll do a very brief one, then deal with the committee's questions around this Cross-Border Road Transport Act and its constraints. So we won't go too much into the research and the methods and all of that, because it's going to take us very long. That's why it's only a few slides on that. And then we'll move on to the outcomes of the research. Chair, the questions into the impact of the Cross-Border Road Transport Act on road transport between South Africa and its neighboring countries is a bit broad. If we look at the background of this, our concern is more with Northeastern Free State as representing South Africa, and in this case the Mountain Kingdom of the country. And the specific issue is the issue of taxi operators between these two countries. taxi operators from taxi associations in that region have, on a number of occasions, an oversight visit, taking part into the people's program, I think, was, I wasn't here at that time, but I know in one of those in the reports, it's evident that this issue was raised. There was a follow-up visit by the very committee into that area, where we actually met some of the taxi operators from different taxi associations. That gave us a follow-up meeting in 2011, 6 September, I think, in which we invited Sangoku, the taxi associations, the Cross-Border Road Transport Agency, the Free State Department of Police, Road and Transport, as well as representatives from the Department of Transport. The background, therefore, the reason why we need to look at this issue and look at the impact and constraints of this act on cross-border road transport really has to do with taxi operators and, in the final instance, passengers between the two countries being serviced, taxi operators being aggrieved that they don't get a piece of the market, but then, of course, the people, ordinary people, not really having transport. So I won't go per slide as it is in the slides necessarily, but that serves as background. There's more detail of this if members want. I could go through it during question and discussion session. But what happened was, in the interaction, two broad questions surfaced by. And these questions were also informed by our strategic planning meeting in this year. I always call it Twin Towers instead of Strand Towers. At the Strand Towers Hotel, where we were then also, the resolution was taken that we should actually do this type of research. But perhaps I must say something about the attempt to do research. In fact, the attempt to commission the research. I have it with me, not in my rag, but it's in my office. The attempt, I spent at least a month and a half trying to get somebody who could do the research. There are few people who specialize in this. We had at the CSIR a unit called Transport Tech. They were not available. In fact, Transport CSIR is now going into a similar thing that Agrimore SA goes in. Material for road and pavement building, etc. So we couldn't get it. We get a person from Durban, but this committee does not have a budget that person wanted. They would have charged us far too much. They would have done rudimentary work. The committee then decided that it must be done in-house. I volunteered to do the research, because I've done this type of thing previously. And what we've come up with was a method of what we call desktop research. But I ensured that the data, in fact, that the research is comparative enough and that the data is trustworthy enough. So the outcomes I'm going to discuss and issues that I will go into in this specific act will be specific to why transport operators are aggrieved, and it will be specific to get recommendations that assist. So not only the transport operators in the Free State and Lesotho can operate and get into the market, but also so that people can actually be served better as far as public transport is concerned, and specifically taxi transport between Mountain Kingdom, Lesotho, and Free State. The two questions I was referring to were the following. Now these are the two questions here. The internal meeting and oversight visit raised these questions. There are questions about the manner in which the agency manages specifically taxi transport through the stipulations of the Act and the Memorandum of Understanding. I'll get to the MOU now. That's an MOU between Mountain Kingdom, not even Mountain Kingdom, Lesotho, and SADC and South Africa. And secondly, there are possible weaknesses in the Act itself that prevent smooth transport between these two, and that prevent taxi operations from being taken. Those are the two questions. So one is, how did the agency do what the Act says it must do? And secondly, is the Act itself unclear, or is the Act itself weak in certain aspects? But it's not only the Act. And that's why on slide 3 you would notice I say the rest of the legislative framework. I'll go into that a little bit now. This is on slide 4 just an objective. The objective is to inform us of matters that constrain the implementation of the Act. Constrain means the Act can't have the impact of ensuring that there are people who can be transported and taxi operators can actually do it. I like doing things simplistically and straight to the point. And so on slide 5, I repeat what we just saw on 3. And questions really to me is it the Act? And secondly, is the agency? Simple. I don't want to make too complex. But if we ask, is it the Act? Then we're asking this. Is this Act the appropriate legislation to ensure passenger road transport across the border between South Africa and her neighboring countries? When we ask it of the agency, then we are asking, does the agency implement this Act in such a way that passengers and taxi transport that passengers can be transported safely and effectively and efficiently, and that taxi transport can take place effectively and efficiently across these borders. Now, I just want to possibly act. Now, when I mentioned that there was somebody who could do the research, the reason why I think it's better to do this in-house is very often they wouldn't touch on the actual concerns that we have. And they would just rattle some of these things off to us and go through very inappropriate, but irrelevant issues inside the Act. I went into specific issues that this Act does. One of the things that this Act does, one of the reasons why this Act was brought to life, or rather was later labeled, is this Act brought to life an agency that should be responsible for issuing permits, for inspecting vehicles, for inspecting racking facilities. There should have been a regulatory committee. So the Act deals with all those things. What I'm doing on slide 6 is just to give a bit specifics. So I'm saying the following. The Act brings to life the agency. Second bullet, the agency is mandated to establish a board, a regulatory committee, and an inspectorate. I'm saying what each does. The board should establish the regulatory committee and should regularly report to the minister on progress to implement the regulatory committee and the whole agency tasks. And these are tasks such as those stipulations that are contained in the SADC MOU and the SADC protocol. Sorry, that bracket should be removed there. And the SADC protocol on transport. Fourth bullet, the regulatory committee, among others, with respect to permit applications and permit issuing. The regulatory committee manages the inspected and manages ranking and border freight facilities. Remember, our focus is not on freighting, but I will have to refer to freighting because if there's trouble as far as passengers are concerned and taxis are concerned, freighting backs up tremendously, especially during peak hours. The fifth bullet, the inspectorate played a very key role as far as implementing regulations and then inspecting freight and passenger road vehicles that cross the border. They, amongst others, also check whether the permits are outdated or not. They check. In fact, the inspectorate work very closely with the local municipal offices that check their own for licenses and other permits, as well as staff. SA Police Services. Now, this is when I mentioned that it's not just the Act we have to look at, we also have to look at a legislative framework. And the last bullet refers to the legislative framework. The agency, the mandate, and the CBRTA as an Act, is part of the National Land Transport Act, National Road Traffic Act. That's why the inspectorate can work with the municipal offices. The Tourism Act, and the Transport Deregulation Act. Now, I had to take quite a while and call quite a number of people to make certain that I was on the right track all the time. I did this, even with this gentleman. So I did see him without saying me. I know how to do those things. So I want to make certain that we only focus on those legislative issues that pertain to CBRTA and not do unnecessary things. And I can indicate on this before we move to the next slide that the Tourism Act and the Transport Deregulation Act, they have some relation, but not totally as far as cross-border is concerned. And so in the rest of the research work, I did not focus much on that. Now, the next line I want to skip, 7, because what 7 does, members, is it provides information on the MOU. Now, the reason why 7 is important is 7 emphasizes the importance of us checking impact of this agency and this Act. And if necessary, I will come back to it, if members would like me to. Chair, maybe with your guidance, should I go through 7 as well? Preferably. Okay, I'll do it then. The SA Customs Union Memo of Understanding and the Road Transport and South African, sorry, SADC Protocol of Transport. The following 4 bullets deal with that. The MOU was signed in 2005 between all countries. In other words, It's not just Mountain Kingdom, Lesotho, BC. We should probably later on as committee work on all the cross-border issues because they are issues anyway. At the time of the signing of this MOU was extremely needed because there was conflict. And what's important for us here is to remember that this MOU was signed and it was looked at as a solution to the conflict. In other words, a regulatory aspect, a regulatory signature between officials and political principles between the two countries was hoped for. And some local will say it to you. When they were here, they say it. And taxi associations also say, when this thing was signed, we thought, yes, thank you very much. But it was not the case. Bullet 3. The MOU actually cannot. The MOU on its own cannot. Because the MOU just says, we agree this, you agree that. And the side. But on both sides, there is a additional arm necessary, a mechanism with human bodies that know how to do their work and are rational to do this. So it needs an agency that functions optimally to implement the stipulation. Now note that this agency already existed at that time because the Act was signed in 1998. So the agency was started in 1998 already. So by the time the MOU was signed, the MOU was informed by the Act and what the agency should do. So this MOU is tailor-made for the agency to do its work. The agency, and I'm repeating some of the stuff I said previously, but I'll do so. The agency is mandated to implement stipulations such as the mandate within the broad legal framework of the National Land Transport Act, the National Road Traffic Act, Tourism Act, and the Transport Deregulation Act. I'm also indicating in the last bit that except for the supple MOU, the agency's work is further also guided. In other words, the agency is also needed to implement a number of other multilateral agreements with neighboring countries, one of them being the SADC Protocol on Transport and the Agreement on Communications and Meteorology. Affects not only Free State, but also Northern Cape, specifically now that we have the SCAR. But I want to add another thing, which came out in the research, and which deals with fit, and also affects our electricity provision from that Lesotho Highland water project. If that thing is not managed well, if this is not managed well, that is impactful. I will refer to that as well. Okay. Now, I'm going to research outcomes. Am I jumping? Yes, I'm jumping. My apologies. I'm not going through 8 because I already mentioned that. No, let me go through 8 because these are the actual ones that I was guided to by other experts to focus on. The National Land Transport Act, the Land Transportation Act, and the Free State Public Transport Act. I would want to put in here the municipal regulatory aspect and some staff issues. But that is if I am guided by the committee to also look at the inspectors and its interplay with SAP and the municipal traffic officers. Because that's probably something. If we want to really detail about that, there's no problem with doing that. That would be lovely to do and would give this committee much more insight into how it, what are the impacts and what are the issues on the border, cross-border issues, right here on the ground. Research outcomes. Now, the first research outcome, slide 9, will deal with National Land Transport Act, which is very important, actually, for us to understand cross-border transport act. This act, I must just indicate, came up with a framework. In fact, before this act, there was a framework. And this is the act that everyone would recall, spoke amongst others, about taxi scrapping, new taxis being brought up. But this is also the act, and now I'm going to link again to what I just almost begged the committee for me to do. This is also the act that says that the integrated development plans of municipalities are crucial. Because the touch on taxi, the touches on ranking, local ranking, the touches therefore CBRTA where CBRTA operates those forward. So this act prescribed national norms and standards that must be uniformly applied in all the provinces. I don't think that, because it's going to come back to us all the time. And the prescribed national norms and standards that must be uniformly applied in all our 9 provinces, in all our municipalities, and nobody can move from that. Before I go to sections, etc., let me just say that the reason why I highlighted that is because you can't have a provincial act or provincial legislation that goes against this act. It's like you can't have an act that goes against any prescription of the Constitution. That's legally strange and will be thrown out. I don't think the president would ever send to something like that. Legal advisors would look at that and stop it. So, the provincial, your Free State Public Transport Act and your AZN and your Pumalanga, all those will be aligned with the NLTA. Now, I'm now going to go into what the Act is. The Act, and let me just say again, what I'm focusing on in every single Act has to do with taxi transport, permitting, licensing, issuing processes of, as well as applications. Section 5(c) of that Act says, the Minister of Transport is the only one, and I'm quoting from the Act there, is responsible, sorry, this is not a quote, my apologies, this is not a quote from the Act. This is a quote from a legal case, a court case, in which, and I will refer to the court case just now, but this is the judgment portion that uses the NLTA and then summarizes portion of the Act. The judge then said, the minister is the only one responsible for land transport arrangements with other countries regarding transport between the Republic and those countries in collaboration with the Minister of Foreign Affairs, in this now derated international relations and cooperation. That minister is the only one. Not the MEC, not the mayor of municipality, not the ranking official, just the minister. Section 50 suggests a very close link in the operations of the Act. In other words, Section 50 of the National Land Transport Act suggests a very close relation between this Act and the operations of the agency that CBRT as an Act brings to life. That says, no person shall operate a road-based public transport service unless he or she is a holder of an appropriate license or permit issued for the vehicle concerned in terms of this. We need to park this in our minds as well. It's crucial. 75 of this Act deals with interaction between public transport and across the whole border. Subsection 1 of that section 75 says, a public operator who conducts cross-border business should be in possession of necessary operating license as required by this Act for the vehicle, in addition to any permit required by the Cross-Border Act. So previous section 50 will say, no, you must have a license for this, and possibly permit for this. But Subsection 1 of 75 says, in addition to the Cross-Border Road Transport Act. So the National Transport Land Transport Act keeps the CRTA alive. It says that's the agency that will keep that. Not anything else. Not anyone else. We go to slide 10. And because we went through this and consulted and we analyzed the NLTA and its importance, we can now come to our key finding 1 of our research. And our key finding 1 is road transport operators, and I should have said passenger road transport operators, should have licenses from authorities that is described in the National Land Transport Act, as well as they should have a permit from the agency as described in the CBRT Act. This is now something that is established. Nobody can move away from it. There cannot be questions. Now I make a note and I say, and it's just a note probably that I keep reminding myself and I want to keep reminding us as a committee, that the Free State Public Transport Act gives effect to the National Land Transport Act, and cross-border taxi operators should therefore have a license or permit from the local, in other words the municipality, as well as of the provincial, so now it's already two permits or licenses, as well as a cross-border, cross-border permit. So there's three. The local and provincial licenses are generally, they are general passenger road transport permits that certifies that both the vehicle is in a good condition, and secondly, I mean, you can't have a vehicle that has 8 seats and you transport 12 people, or 2 people sit on a seat, or the seats are welded together in very poor way. That cannot be allowed. And the driver must be suitable to transport, not only drive the vehicle, but also to transport. You must be, as a driver, you must have a special permit to transport passengers. But it does not, what this does not give, this Act, the Free State Public Transport Act, it does not give the right to anyone to transport passengers cross borders. If you have those discs and those licenses, you are not allowed to carry passengers across the border. And you are also not allowed to drop passengers in a short distance. And I do this deliberately. You're not allowed to drop passengers within a short distance from the border so they can walk across. That's why there was an amendment to the Cross-Border Road Transport Act, I think 2011. Where were we now? I think last year or 2010, there was an amendment that said you can't drop them. Even if you drop the 2K from the border, you still need a permit, because taxis very often do that. We go to 11, and we get to research, key finding number 2. And now we are lifting some stuff out of the CDRTA. Let me just say that when I did the NLTA, I should have said to the committee that what I did was to go and look at every single one of the acts and every single thing that had to do with licensing, permitting, and how the policing all takes place. And this is the outcome of it. Key finding 2, Section 20B of the Act, Cross-Border Road Transport Act, identifies the agency, in other words, the Cross-Border Road Transport Agency, as the only body that's authorized, and I quote from it, to regulate access to the market by the road transport freight and passenger industry in respect of cross-border road transport by permits. The agency does this by issuing permits. And therefore, if we look at the critical aspects of this act and whether it is strong enough, the best piece of legislation in the world for cross-border road transport, we should look at issuing permits. Is that watertight? Or is there a slippage there? Now, I maintain that Section 23B, on its own, receives a claim. But it's not just a claim, and that's why I do not, and I say this, it refutes the claim by taxi operators. I want to emphasize this because I've got the most, the highest respect for taxi operators. At one stage, I operated as a taxi driver in Mitchell's Plain for a short period in my life. It's not easy. It's not easy. And especially with cross-border, with this massive distance that people travel, it is horrendous work. These people do it. What I therefore say when I say I refute their claim is not meant to respectfully. But this piece of the Act, this subsection, refutes the claim by taxi operators in Free State that permits issued in terms of other pieces of legislation, that is the NLTA, Free State, Public Transport Act, allow them to transport passengers across or close to the border. There was such a claim on several occasions, and we need to nip that in the bud, otherwise the control is not there. Number 2, Section 25, we are on slide 12. Section 25 of the Act is now being dealt with here on 12. And this has got to do with application of permits and the agency's duty to process and issue permits. 25. See, we needed to do this because the association consistently said that they wanted the Act to be amended. Because, and this is almost a basis. The Act does not work for us. The Act causes confusion. And I tried to figure out how does it cause confusion. When you drive a taxi, you don't have time to go through reasons. You rely on other people to tell you these things. And then they tell you a part of it. You don't look at the whole thing. And I had the duty to go through this as if I was one of these people. So I could make sense that our brothers and sisters that do these, that drive these taxis, that they don't get confused. So bullet one stays in our head here. Taxi associations have the view that this thing needs to be amended because it does not work and it causes confusion. Bullet two, at the basis of this, there's perception that the act is not precise about whether multiple persons, and this comes up all the time, multiple persons may hold permits for the same vehicle. Multiple persons may hold permits for the same vehicle. So, Shu'aib can drive it, Honorable Tao can drive it with the same permit. Cause problem. Or, that permits are only issued if Honorable Temba belongs to Blessbox Taxi Association. Or Marikana Mine Taxi Association. If your membership of the association is over, then you can't get a permit. That also lies around. Now, related to this, is a concern that operators on both sides of the border, Mountain Kingdom of Lesotho and Free State, and we can find this in other provinces as well, may hold membership of taxi associations in both countries, and they can therefore get permits. They can therefore get permits to transport passengers to whatever banking facility the association may set up. This is the court case I referred to and from which judgment I heard earlier. The court case was Hari and others. These are about 8 individuals that was pulled off and was then their permits were taken from them and their taxis were removed and they went to court. The court found against them and they went to the appeals court. What I have here is the appeals court judgment. Notice the association. Marikana is a super long distance taxi association. They belong to it. But they also belong to BDA Platinum Crown Taxi Association, which was not in Lesotho. And they also belong to Blackhawk Taxi Association. This was a case in the High Court of South Africa, and at that time, the Bophuthatswana Provincial Division. My apologies, members, I did not check whether that provincial division still exists as Bophuthatswana or not. So I'm not as. The last bit, there's a third challenge amongst all this, that's all related to Section 25, which is the application of permits and the duty to process and issue permits. A further challenge exists related to the ranking facility and how the Cross Border Road Transport Agency manages ranking facilities. So now I'm asking the question, again, with bullet 1 on 12 in my mind. The CBRDA must be amended because it doesn't work for us and it causes confusion. So I'm asking, does the CBRDA, the NLTA, and the FSETA perhaps, is that because all three issue licenses and permits, is that because of that perhaps that it causes confusion? Is it not that these three, and remember the others as well, that it causes ambiguity and confusion, and that confusion constrains the school's operation? Is it not that? Because we know that if legislation has, for it to have impact and guide practice, and this is true for the regulation as well, it must be unambiguous, it must be straightforward, and stand. And of course it must be able to stand up in court. Where implementation requires interrelated pieces of legislation to be interpreted, such pieces of legislation dare not confuse one another and contradict one another. Can't be ambiguous. Once pieces of legislation and regulation leave space for too many interpretations, ambiguity threatens clear lines of authority. Ambiguity threatens clear lines of authority, clear lines of accountability, and it threatens the operations of agencies that are responsible for implementation. After analyzing that aspect and that problem that came up in the research, key finding 3 came up. And key finding 3, after a thorough analysis of these key pieces of legislation, my apologies, on slide 13 there's an error. It should be FTTA, not FSRK. That's Free State Public Transport Act. Free State Public B. After analyzing these 3 and the regulations that form the legislative framework in which the agency should give effect to the Act, we found that the related pieces of legislation is clear enough. It does not, it's not true that you can be membership across borders. It's not true that free state permits allow you to cross the border. It's not true that the municipality can give you that license can allow you to cross there and drop under the net. No. The Act cites. They have been caught in a number of cases. And cross-border road transport act itself is tight enough as a piece of legislation. I must indicate, however, that in spite of what I put here, that the legislation is tight enough, I am very concerned about a trend that has occurred. Let me park that. I will deal with that. I'll say what the concern is. Because it's not so that different pieces of legislation may only cause confusion. It may also be that a lot of amendments to one specific legislation give the impression that the legislation is weak, even though it is not. So I will refer to that as well. We can move to slide 14. Now, if it is so tight, if the legislation, the legislative framework is so tight, why does this act not work? Why don't we have smooth transport? Why are people still fighting? Why? As we sit here at the end of November, we are already worried about what might happen on the border now. We are very worried about this. So why does it not impact positively on cross-border transport between the Free State and the Mountain Kingdom? And I here want to get to the heart of the problem. Not close enough to Valentine's Day 2013 to talk about those types of things, but this is the heart of the problem, not other stuff. That's got nothing to do with the 14th of February 2013 either. So in the next few slides we present what I think is the heart of the problem. But what I did was to do it from the point of view of key stakeholders. And thereafter we will look at operational matters. Because if it's not the Act, then it must be operational matters. And that will form the basis of recommendation that we may, as a committee, consider making. So, slide 15 titled The Heart of the Problem. As I said, I will look at the heart of the problem from the point of view of the agency, the Free State Department of Police, Roads and Transport, and the Free State Taxi Operators. I did not put Sangoku here, me as Free State Taxi Operators, no matter which association you belong to. And let me say that slide 15 is our work as a committee. Slide 15 and maybe I should have said this right at the beginning. What our committees very often don't realize, Honorable Tao, because I have to address this to you because I work here for long, not in the committee section, but in other responsibilities for a certain political party. And one of the things that we underestimate is the value of the work that we do oversight-wise. The work is extremely important. It's extremely research-tight. I've taken and discussed some issues. You can take a strength from a committee report and you'll see how it holds up in tertiary institutions. So what I'm saying is that this work here is research work of a particular committee, the National Council of Provinces, and good. What I'm presenting on 15 comes from our committee, not from any researcher. It's the committee's work. For the agency, the heart of the problem was 1.1, non-compliance to the provisions of the SA Customs Union memo of understanding on road transport. The agency feels that taxi operators do not comply to that. Two, operators' failure to convert old order permits and operating licenses that purport to authorize them to take people across the border. They did not do it. Taxi operators did not convert their permits and rights and licenses to cross-border permits. In other words, they didn't go to the agency to check the licenses. The operators themselves did not. But remember, this is just a perception. Yeah. And remember, some of them might have come, but they might have come later, because the legislation said in a certain time frame. They were given a specific time frame that was actually supposed to be before 28th Feb 2009. Three, existence of illegal taxi ranking facilities that are located at various ports of entry is a direct outflow of the impeded flow of passenger traffic. Now, what the agency is referring to here, members, is that impeded flow across the border. And they seem to say they don't really have control over, and they can't manage the amount of people that come in at a specific time, Easter and December. They stuck. Now, that seems to be saying we don't have enough power or something like that. We don't know, but that's what they said. But let me also say that three is also indicative of something else. Three also means that, and here we must never underestimate ordinary people. Our ordinary people are clients. They need to be transported. If there is, seems to be a need for a taxi ranking facility somewhere and it works, in spite of what legislation and regulation say, and the agency said, if it works, people are going to go there. They get transported. So sometimes the market talks, and sometimes the legislation must follow, because it works. That's what I want to indicate from that point three. Two, from Police Department of Police, Roads and Transport, number one, the operations within the cross-border field fall within the competency of the agency and its board. And they should issue cross-border permits, and they should manage ranking facilities, and they should ensure compliance through the inspectors. Number one is absolutely correct. The Act we saw ourselves, the Act says that. The issuance came from the presentations that were made, and that's why I think we should stick with it like that. The issuance of such permits by the agency to flea state operators has not taken place properly. So it took place, but there was some strange things going on, and it caused frustrations within taxi associations and operators. There could be a situation where some taxi associations applied in bulk, and so once I have it, I run with it. And the other guys come late in the market and they lose them. Number three, the operators lost the opportunity to get cross-border road transport permits. I should have put it in like that. A number of operators reported to be operating from residential places to and from undesignated ranks in Lesotho. But this is clear. Free State is telling us this happened, and from their point of view, the agency is not really doing well. The agency has not done well managing ranking facilities. But look, they're saying the same. They're saying the issuing of permits, the managing of ranking facilities, and the ensuring of compliance through the inspectors has not taken place properly. From the point of view of the operator, the problem looks like this. They say they don't recognize the agency. They don't recognize the Act as it was amended, including provisions of the National Land Transport Act. And that is Section 75.1. This is the reason why I went through those sections, members, because those are the problematic sections. What they do recognize, they want to operate and control operations in the Free State province from Fourierburg. They prefer that. But remember, the members of the tax associations that we saw in the Free State as well as in Committee Room 1 upstairs, this is what they told us. So it is possible that if we speak to another group, they will say another banking facility. But that is just indicative of the fact that if it works at a particular point, they will have time and they will operate. And the other important thing to note in point two is they recognize an agreement entered into by them during 2005. They recognize agreement entered into by them in 2005. Now, the agency and or government were not signatories to this agreement. It was just the association signing on their own. We don't know whether Free State Police were involved or some municipal officials were involved in that. But it looks like a local agreement that was struck. I also suspect that there might have been some of the Lesotho operators involved there because they seem to feel that they can work with them in that way. Three, the Free State operators are refusing to have joint ventures with a cross-border taxi association. The acronym LVTCA, I can't figure out what it means. Obviously, the T is going to be taxi, the A association, and L is going to be Lesotho, but I don't know the rest of that. But this is again what was reported to us. The operators do not want to have joint ventures with that LVTCA. Now, the important thing of this one is, according to the amendment to the Act, and according to the SADC MOU, it is that one that Free State operators must have a joint venture with. And the reason for the joint venture is, it's really a business deal, is one ranking facility, Lady Brand. Well managed, the agency take charge of it, the issuing of licenses and everything takes place seamlessly. The two people must get it from the agency as well, not from their own agency. It's only this agency that must manage everything between the two. And then we have this uniform, seamless operation. Well, in theory so, but the operators don't want to. And a part of the Act, in fact. So again, they drop the Act. Can I just do something with members? On 15. Some of these link to one another. Clearly they link to one another. I mean, the first thing that one can notice here is that there is a finger pointing taking place. Free State says it's the agency. The agency says it's the operators. The operators don't say it's anyone. The operators just say, we don't want this Act, we don't want this agency, we want the 2005 agreement and finish. That's it. Clearly, the operators want to control. And one can understand, if you run your own business, you want control over your market. But perhaps a compromise is needed. 16. I'm talking about attempts to resolve this problem. There have been a number of attempts, and as I reported earlier on, 2005 SADC MOU was thought of as a solution. It wasn't. The Act in 1998, I think, was also thought of as a solution. It wasn't. Now, this 18 September 2012 date is one hour meeting in which this was reported to us. The agency was there, the Department of Transport, the Free State Police Road and Transport. The only stakeholder that was not there was the tax association. But this was an action that emanated from our 6 September meeting, after which the DG of National Department of Transport was, he then took on the task of pulling all role players together and working out the solution. And this was what was brought to us. And this is what worries me. It's called the special dispensation. The special dispensation had a lot of bullets and numbers and things on there. But all of them are not important. There's only a 1, 4, and 8, or 1, 4, 1, 4 and 5, but I will go through it just now. The following are the key issues that are important in that special dispensation. They say they want to do the following. Number one, facility sharing. Now, interesting, facility sharing comes up everywhere, even in when we spoke about the heart of the problem. And they're talking about one ranking facility shared between the LVCTA from Lesotho and taxi operators in Free State. at Lady Brandt. Two, a legislative amendment needs to take place through the Act. But it's really going to be regulative. So I don't think it's a regulation actually. And that legislation will basically say between this period and that period, all who want to cross border with passengers should apply for the correct permit. This took place when the Act was amended in 2008 as well. Members may recall earlier when I said that I'm worried about how many times acts that are solid get amended. Here is a clear example. In 2008, the Act was amended for special emergency measures. That's after people killed one another, burnt one another's vehicles, and the success was limited on the Free State side. Now we're talking about doing it again. There's doubt whether it's going to work. Number three, the MSC for Free State, Department of Police, Road and Transport, the Agency Regulatory Committee, and the SA Police Service would operate under these emergency measures as in number two to normalize the border situation. To normalize the border situation. And this would be applicable for 21 days under section 46A of the Act. So the 46A will be amended to create a special emergency period in which everyone, the suit and the Free State, go get permits and then normalize through Lady Brandt only. But we can see they want to go through Vredenburg and other places. I don't know. 17. What I think is the actual heart of the problem. Informed by the research, informed by the legislation, informed by the meeting that we had, informed by the minutes and the reports that I went through again. Number one, the legislation is not the heart of the problem. It is not. Number two, legislative amendments such as in the special dispensation would not lead to the smooth running of cross-border passenger road transport. I'm sorry to say these things, but it's not going to be. Three, this is the heart of the problem. There are operational weaknesses within this agency. That's the actual heart of the problem. But can I now say that the weakness for these three as well? It's not just operational weaknesses. As I said earlier on, there are issues, there are things happening on the ground between municipal IDPs as well as Free State Police, Road and Transport, and staff. And, but for me, because we did CRTA as an act, I can't, I'm limited, I can only report on this. It is the following. The next few slides will be 19, 20, and they will deal with two only, although on 18 I list three. The operational matters that require immediate attention is permit management system of the agency, permit administration, and permit monitoring. I say I'm leaving monitoring because monitoring depends on management of permits and administration of permits. So I go to 19 immediately. There's a need to issue permits in a uniform way. At the moment, it doesn't take long. There's serious problems. There's a 14... I think there are too many different types of permits for cross-border. There's a 14-day, there's a 3 months, there's a whole lot of that. And when your 14 days is over, you have to go back. When your 3 months is over, you have to go back. These guys spend lots of time in these queues. And when you stand in a queue and it doesn't happen quick, you're going to get angry with these people. You're not going to bother with them anymore. You open one day, there's a garage there, and you go. Two, second bullet, the CDRTA has not yet developed a rationale. Now, this is crucial to understand. A rationale is thinking through all the possible problems that may arise before you operationalize something. You first create problems, and then you create structures to deal with those problems, and then you operate. They have not developed a rationale for the awarding or the rejection of permits that's applied for, especially during peak hours, Easter and December. They've not. So the problem, but they've not had time to sit still and work through the problem. Three is crucial. They've got a computerized system that's been designed to ensure operational control at border posts exist. to ensure operational control at border posts. This system exists. In fact, this system is so good that we sold this to other neighboring countries. So this computer, no, it's not. I'll get back to now, there's a problem there. This computer system works. It's just for border issues. They come in, we know how many there are for the day, done, we know how many came in. We've got all their details, we know the driver, we know how many people there were, we know the identities of the people as well. It's a computer system that was actually sold, I think, to Kenya and some other countries. So the thing works, but in the case of the agency, it's poorly managed. In other words, we've got the thing, but not managed well, so the delivery level is low. That's it. That is not operational in the agency. In other words, there's no link between NATIS and that computer system. And they have to do an inquiry. If that comes through, they have to sit on phone to find out. Is this really? And of course, it can't work. How many taxis wait now while you're on the phone? If not operational, it would help with the verification of owners and obtaining details of, example, previous convictions. Presently, the inspectors have no contact. Presently, the inspectors of the agency have no contact with local authorities obtaining this information. Type 20, permit administration, freight and passenger transport lists. Freight and passenger transport lists are treated by the same administrator. It means that I have to keep my head as an administrator. I'm busy with freight right now. Immediately, there's too many taxis that I have to run there. So I can't specialize on freight. And it's crucial that you specialize on freight because freight is about business for business people. This is also business, but this is transport and it's identity of people. It's mothers with babies, it's goats. It's crucial. But you can't let officials run from one to the other and they don't specialize in this agency. It causes problems. And it leads to poor service delivery to passengers and to businesses in South Africa and Mountain Kingdom of Lesotho. Let me now return to the point I wanted to make about freight. In calling around and speaking to a number of people, water affairs and forestry, a number of people, stakeholders, are very worried about the border situation there. They say that especially during the year it happens well, but especially during the peak hours, they can't get material through for the building. So phases of that project are backed up. And it causes huge problems with service providers and contractors. Again, as subcontracting takes place, local people should get jobs in South Africa. They don't. They do have it for a short while. The men can't come through because the taxis are backed up. So that has another effect as well, this thing. And we must keep that in mind. And then, of course, the last one about permit administration and about operations is that staffing issues in the inspectorate needs to be addressed. The issue of staff with experience, the issue of abilities, and the high rate of vacancy. I must indicate before I go to recommendations that the agency has had, from the Auditor General, they've had some problems in the supply chain management. The vacancy rate is one of the things that came up in the audit report in the last two financial years, at least. I didn't go for it, I just looked at the last. Recommendations are daily recommendations for the executive authority. And here I'm referring to the national executive authority, the Minister of Transport. And therefore I separate executive authority from the MEC. We as a committee can consider, remember, these are not from the research, these are for the committee to decide. I'm not putting it as if we decided really, I'm just draft recommendations. The committee alerts the Executive Authority of Transport and the MEC of the Free State Department of Police, Road and Transport that the special dispensation referred to in the 18th September 2012 meeting may not yield the result, even though it's aimed to amend parts of the legislation and regulation. That's our duty to do so. We can't say, you know, if we are an oversight arm, we are the strongest oversight arm of government next to the portfolio committee. And because it's a provincial matter, we are the strongest arm. And if they come to us in a particular meeting and they come strong with a strong team and they say, no, but you were part of it, we told you. We have to tell them, sorry. We can see that this is not going to work. Number two, we may suggest that an independent investigation be initiated into the regulatory committee of this agency and into the board of the agency. And we can tell them where to give specific attention and special attention to. And we ask them to give attention to the permit management system, the permit administration, and to look at staffing issues in the inspectorate. Now, I just want to here refer, maybe this, what I'm saying here from note onwards by number 2.2, I should have put this elsewhere as well, in the previous slide, for instance. This is an example of how things are backed up operationally. There's a permit that you apply for, the 3-month permit. It takes 3 months to get the 3-month permit. The Honorable Cow, you will stand there for 3 months. You'll get it and you'll be back there in 3 months. So I must operate my taxi and have somebody that can stand there. The problem is the driver must. The permit is linked to me and my vehicle. So I have to take my vehicle off. There are, in other words, people standing there continuously busy applying for the 3 months. So you're not going to go for the 3 months permit. You're rather going to go for a 14-day permit. But then renew it every time. That's hard. And honestly, I don't think it's right that we have a legislation that brings an agent into life that's supposed to serve, and it doesn't. In fact, this agency has the opportunity to serve two countries' taxi operators. Two countries that are historically linked to one another. Geographically, you can't divorce the two countries from one another. We need the agency to operate. 2.3, the operational efficiency and the effectiveness of the agency's inspectorate should also be looked at, and this is the one that should issue penalties and that should execute them. Now, issuing of penalties is one thing. The writing out of a penalty is another. But remember, sometimes you're going to have to stand in court as well. So the inspectors are people that should have a certain type of qualification, a certain type of legal qualification at least. You can't, we have to set a minimum standard here. 2.4, specific attention to the uniform issuing permits between the Free State and Mountain Kingdom of Lesotho. It's important that we have a uniform thing, and I think there must be research done into the types of permits that are going to work best. On 22, I just make an important point, the last slide, that we shouldn't, when we speak of inspectorate, we shouldn't start confusing the agency and its duties with that of policing. Their work may be related to a type of policing, but they are not the police and they can't do what SAP does. And therefore, when we look at the heart of the problem earlier on, if Free State says the agency should do that and that, the agency could turn around and say the same. Fortunately, they did not. But we should just look out for that. There's duties on the part of the provincial authorities, the local municipalities, and the agency representatives, and the taxi associations. They serve, the access, this should exist. They serve on route management groups. Sorry, the M should be a capital. Route management groups. All stakeholders serve on these groups. And these groups have shown that where they work, the application takes place better. Where they work, the ranking takes place better. Here's a solution lying here, but it doesn't function. I doubt whether it functions properly. I say doubt, I would have known if I were given the task to actually go have a look at what it looks like on the ground. The committee may recommend that the route management group's previous initiatives to establish the following should be pursued. So these route management groups should establish these. Number one, one-stop border controls. That should be located on one side of the border and not on both sides of the border. We don't want to stop taxis and transport, freight transport twice. One stop serves both countries. Number two, introduce a consolidated border documentation. In other words, one document. Certain taxis across borders. How do you guys have 7 permits? One. No, I'm just giving an example. 3, 4 causes, it starts going a bit in then I claim all that I have. And they do that. Three, an electronic documentation and to promote pre-clearance for passenger road transport vehicles and drivers. In other words, I'm saying that the route management group should do this. Four should perhaps not be four, it should be a different bullet. We should perhaps recommend that there's interdepartmental work that starts with ourselves being reported to on this, because I think this is legislative work that Home Affairs and the Department of International Relations and Cooperation may want to look in. To streamline a border crossing between our SADC countries and to promote economic development, we need to start looking at a different visa system, similar to what is in operation in the European Union. That is the Schengen visa. In other words, let's try and get the uni visa operating between other countries. 23 is listing some of the sites, not all of them. It also doesn't list people that I consulted, but this is the references and site list. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. That was the presentation by our researcher from the minute we gave them. If I recall that well, we were somewhere in a hotel here in Cape Town. But, sorry, nevertheless, I wanted to take this opportunity to members to ask questions or to comment or any addition. But from my side, thank you very much for this information. I think it will assist us to unlock some of the problems which we have experienced with this. Because our challenge is not about the issue of free trade only. I'll put an example. A few days ago, I was reading a statement, a motion, in the House about the incident which took place in Joburg. There was an incident where people were killed. The fight between the big British and Gitmal Jota Association. Already, it's war. I think two people died on the fight and other letters in Egypt. Therefore, thank you once more, because it has broadening our scope so that we can have a clear understanding that if we're dealing about this matter, to a clear focus. Over to you, members. Any questions or comments? Honourable member, Cronivas, followed by Honourable Mama Temba, Honourable member Jacobs. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm looking very carefully at and what's been said. For me, the first question is, what about other borders? We specifically talk about the Free State border and the Mountain Kingdom, but what about the other borders between Zimbabwe and Namibia and all that? Do we have similar problems there as what we have here in the Free State? And it seems to me the interaction between the CDRTA and the MLTA and the FSPTA is not good. And that is, as you said, there's definitely a problem there. So that interaction, there's no coordination between these bodies. And then this problem will remain the whole time. And then the last thing, so you can just give us one answer there. And this one is just a comment. The issuing of a permit is really a problem. The way they've done it, I got that feeling we've got a big problem there, and there must be other measures to do it at our borders. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me thank the content advisor. There is a couple of job well done. have the information, that is the heart, we now have the heart of the problem, information on the heart of the problem. If we can, my proposal would be to, like, from this, develop a program that is going to, that is going to help the, like, for example, on page 50, the department, the first stage department of police, roads and transport. Then we look at how can they now, since we have identified the heart of the problem, the issuance of permits by the agency to free state operator, to see how can we look at now having a mechanism of dealing with that problem. And also, because the problem is not the legislative, also the operator, the operator, see how there can be awareness program on this.
Honourable Member Jacob, followed by Honourable Member Dow.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, also let me welcome the presentation. But I want us to go back to the meeting that we held with the Department of the 18th of September 2012, where they said the problem here is not to amend legislation, but we have to introduce the regulations and policies to address this problem. And they also have made their proposals, which they said by the 18th of November, that would be in operation. Unfortunately, we have not received feedback on that issue. Maybe I'll summarize it at the end of this. Because I wanted us to compare our recommendations with those proposals so that we need to consolidate on their proposals and our proposals and form a uniform thing. Because in this research document, it also confirms that we don't need to amend legislation, but we have to tighten on the regulations and so on. So my point of departure would say, maybe what we need to do, we have to make a comparison, and from there we meet with the department so that we agree on the way forward on how to address some of the things that have been identified here. I think that would be my first recommendation. On the issue of what was raised by Honorable Grunewald on issue of payment, I have written here on page 21, the last one, 2.4, an issue of payments between South Africa and neighboring countries. That specifically should be a Free State and the Mountain Kingdom. Because what we are doing here, it should be holistic. It should address other provinces. Because if they're not there, they will still come. So it means we need to do that. And also on the issue of payments, I was just thinking to say, when they issue permit, maybe they need to issue a permit, a temporary permit for a year. And then after a year, they give a permanent permit. That year should be a probation, whereby they are looking whether the operator is able to fulfill the requirements. And then maybe after a year, it should be a five-year permit, which will be reviewed after 5 years, so that we should have stability in the issue of payments, like saying every time, and then people are applying for payments and so on. So if we could do that, maybe that would help. This issue of one-stop border controls, I just want to check with the researcher, what does it mean? how is it going to operate? Are we saying you have to have a border, one-stop border control on the other side and this on the other side? And then how is it going to affect the operation? Let's say somebody comes from Johannesburg, he's heading to Lesotho. So does it mean he'll pass South Africa and he'll stop in Lesotho? And what happens when somebody comes from Lesotho into South Africa, will come to Lesotho and stop at the border post in on the either side of Lesotho? If I could, like get clarity on that. But in whole, I think our way forward, it is just to make comparison with that, and from there we move forward. But the main concern that I have is that today it is the 28th. It is the 28th, and those proposals should have been in operation by 18th of November. So it means we are behind of getting a report. I'm raising this because one of the tax operators phoned me over the weekend. He said they are still waiting for the department. And it's now a season where they have to make profit. And she was raising this issue to say that we need to avoid confrontations, because we know when it's busy season, everybody wants to make profit. And there's going to be that kind of a confrontation. So I was also going to propose also to this committee to say, maybe we need to arrange a meeting for next week. In whatever we're going to do next week, we need to reschedule it and try to invite all the stakeholders so that we should get a report. And before we go for research, at least we should know what our developments are. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Let me appreciate also the kind of work that the research unit and the content advisor has really done. And I think this should be a lesson to us that maybe moving into the new year, this should be our approach as a committee in doing our work. Where we utilize the human resource capacity that we have in order to do our own internal research work in preparation for anything, whether it be a departmental briefing, whether it be a matter that might come up through our public hearings and so forth, because it prepares us much more better as a committee. My take on this issue, Chair, many issues that come out of this report, where I look at them, they are long-term. The issue that I'm worried about is the political problem that we're sitting with. We're sitting with a political problem, and we need to find a political solution to the problem. And that's where I would agree with Honorable Jacobs that we need to find a quicker way of dealing with the situation before we even rise. And I'm saying this is a political problem because it has got a potential to blow in our faces as the NCOP now, as a legacy issue for this committee. We have started the process, and we need to take responsibility that we took too long also as a committee to make follow-ups to ensure that certain commitments that were made by the department are lived to. I take the point that the special dispensation might not necessarily be a long-term solution, but it was a political a milestone for us as a committee to have been able to push the department to a point where they even confessed or agreed to bend their own rules. And for us, for so long as it serves the interests of our people, to me, it's what is of interest. And whether it be short-term intervention or what, because right now it is this festive thing now that we are faced with. How are we going to deal with this? And I'm telling you, we are going to have sleepless nights from these operators with regard to this, because it is quite clear what we understand now here is not what they understand. their key issue is that the operators from Lesotho are operating in South Africa, and they can't operate. And the issue is horrifying. That is the main thing. Because Mr. Mubayana's main issue is that why are they, to them, like they are a target, they are targeting those operators from forestry. Because the others on the other side, what side is it? I forgot the name. Sorry. They don't have a problem. They are operating, you know. On the forest-based side, that's where now the issue comes in, that it could be that they applied late for their operating permits. It could be that they don't have those permits. But now it's good that one is having sitting with this report. I know what kind of questions to ask him. Should he call me tonight? I'll definitely ask him. What happened in 2009 when you were allowed to renew or to apply for your permits to operate and so forth? But as things stand now, the Lesotho operators are operating, but Bona, they cannot operate because they feel that the agency is targeting them, while those ones from Lesotho operate freely. Where did they get the permit? Did they get the permit in South Africa, or did they get the permit in Lesotho? And if they got the permit in Lesotho, how could they then operate in South Africa? And ours cannot be granted permits to operate. Interestingly, on what's today? Today is Wednesday. On Monday, when he called me, that is why I was insisting that you talk to him directly, you know, as the chair of the committee. So to get his side as well, you have the benefit of what the issues are. Because the issue that he keeps on raising with me is that, look, there was this understanding of it. It's not that they don't know about it, it's the dispensation. Matters they were not part as a stakeholder, but they know of the outcome of that meeting of the special dispensation. And they had followed it up to a point. Now, that's where the confusion comes in. Because what he says is that the officials from the Department of Police, Road Transport in the Free State are saying is that they are waiting on the response from Lesotho. What's the response? It's like getting further complicated. If you look at the Act, the role of the province, the role of the agency, and so forth. So it gets more complicated than messy. And unfortunately, I was insisting that you speak to him, so that if he can give you the name of the person that given him that information, you were in that meeting, you called that person in the Free State, what is this thing that you are talking about, and so forth. So that you take political leadership on this matter. I just thought that I must raise that. But generally, I think other things beyond this meeting, obviously, will only be dealt with next year. Whether if you talk of education programs or whatsoever, but I'm not allergic to the suggestion that if it's possible, next week they be brought to Kenya. Thanks.
From my side, I'll send you to members as well, no matter not summarizing it. You see, this exercise to me, it was an eye-opening. It was an eye-opening. Then, because, for example, I think it's on slide number 7, whereby arguments which were signed and which were not honored. And then also slide number 15. Before that, on slide number 12, the issue of the court case. And underline this one. This one, if it was a specific court case in the Free State, not in the entire South Africa. Because there are cases already who took place in the Free State, cases to face for the cross border also, Mozambique and South Africa. The other fight in Limpopo, the same in Joburg, the same. Now, again, on slide 15, the problem, which is pointing and to the members, I think I don't want to do anything about this, but also to give an opportunity to the researcher maybe to respond, but to further comment to the members and members that I was listening to their questions or their comments, their intellect, from what was raised on to the end, that there is an agent, I mean, matter which we got to set up. It's unfortunate because today is Wednesday. If it was not Wednesday, we are starting our program on Monday. We will say, well, I was going to recommend that before the end of this week, we call for that meeting of the stakeholders and bring everybody on. But nevertheless, let me give this opportunity to the researcher, maybe to respond to some of the comments or the questions from the members.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me start with the last point. The issue of the special dispensation and its implementation. Now, you mentioned Department of Transport, National Department, the advocate from the agency, Free State Police, Road and Transport. They would start with this thing on the 18th November. Therefore, the legislative or regulatory type of amendment they were going to make to ensure for a special emergency thing and to set that date. It was a thing of set the date, clean up all these issues of permits, and clear the air for this period.
Yeah.
Calm things down. Whatever happens afterwards, our recommendations, whatever, we do. But it's good to hear from on the ground. I feel very alive when we can hear people's voices, because these things are dead without those people. And when they said there was no signs of dispensation, they're extremely worried. And it means we genuinely need to step in and ring the bell of, and yeah, you are right. We need a political solution. A political directive must be given. Somebody must step in and say, excuse me guys, can we get this thing happening? The DG should be contacted as the official that should act on behalf of the national department. And that DG, by the way, was not in the 18th September meeting. But the official could say that the DG was driving this. So perhaps the DG must be contacted. I would suggest that we contact the DG. Let him come here. He can come while the House sits and speak to us and tell us why on the ground people have not heard of this thing. Because it's a regulatory measure. It's not. There's a Section 23A of that CDRTA that allows such things to be done. The Act is not something that cannot be done. I would suggest that it's not a big team, it's not a big car, it's not a big... The flight is 2 hours, and he drives quickly. He's the accounting officer. And as I say, after our 6th September 2011 meeting, a year after that, a few days longer than the previous, 18 September, 9 days after that, I mean, whatever. He comes, his officials come and says there will be a dispensation. Honorable Jacobs, just to link up with your question about our recommendation and that dispensation. I was actually going through their dispensation earlier. Let me just get there quickly and then I'll read through it. It is facility sharing, Lady Brandy in the Free State, legislating, creating that transition period. We want him to talk about this. And we know that it took place, that's what I mentioned. I just put it in between brackets almost for myself and for us. That took place in 2008. It can't take place now. It didn't really have a big effect. But you can see, the success was there, but it was limited. Now we need that, this time around. And number three, Honorable Jacob, is the, so 1, 2, 3 is on 60, is in fact the dispensation. I heard you say that you would like to hear whether ours and the dispensation go hand in hand. Indeed it does. So when I put the attempt to resolve the problem, I think we must be led by Honorable Tower's observation also that their attempt is a temporary solution for this peak period. After that, our recommendations can come in. And I think it was Honorable Teba who suggested that we, I don't know who now anymore, but one of our members suggested that our program, I think it was Honorable Teba, let's see how we can use some of our recommendation and fit it into our oversight program. And indeed we can. We can do oversight over Free State Department of Road, Police Road and Transport, and tie it into this issue. But then I want also just the worry that I heard in the voice of Honorable Hunnewald about what about the other border posts. Their border posts are reasonably calm, but there are other reasons why they are calm. Free State and Lesotho has a unique character with Gauteng right around the corner. Gauteng is the heart of business, not only in South Africa. It's actually a heartbeat of a huge part of the continent, the southern heart, you can almost call it. And it's growing tremendously. So we are not saying we are not going to look at that. But we want to take the lessons learned from this and apply it elsewhere. Definitely, because some of our recommendations about administration and issuing the permits will certainly have that type of impact. The link up with access, for instance, and bringing that computerized system that does work to life with that. I would be very excited, Chair, just to link up something I mentioned earlier on about our research capabilities. It was not a reference to research capabilities of a research unit or anything. It was actually a reference to our programs. And it was actually a reference to the questions that members ask. Those questions and the responses that you get, these are high-quality responses from high-quality questions, which, as somebody who's experienced in research, I can tell you, it is dynamic stuff that we should use. We should actually gather all our responses and plan our next visits and plan our next oversight meetings with that. Sometimes the questions may seem repetitive. Sometimes they may seem, to other people, they may seem unnecessary. But if you listen carefully and you're patient enough, you see the gems lying there and the possibilities for oversight. I don't know whether I should touch on everything, and I did touch on everything, Chair. I just want to make the suggestion, Chair. Maybe I can't recall now, but I must make the suggestion for action for the Secretary. The update on the special dispensation, we must do that now. Within the next few hours, we must do so. And I think members can make a recommendation quite strongly to the Secretary. I can't do it, but I want to suggest that the recommendation that has come from one of our members that we actually get as the Minister, DG. I suspect the Minister won't be available because I know they're busy with some other stuff now. But I would suggest that DG must come and talk to us. Question.
Just a quick one on this whole issue of the special dispensation. There is, in actual fact, there is a very practical example. The 2008 dispensation. It says that when they did it, they didn't put mechanisms in place to solve the problem beyond the dispensation. You know, it was during the era of the current premier, Makashuru. And then by then he was the MEC for transport. He intervened decisively, gave political direction together with the minister. And they were able to get this thing done. In a week's time, that problem was resolved. But unfortunately, it was just for festive period. Beyond festive things were back to normal again. Then he became premier and new MEC came through. That's when we thought that we're dealing with this MEC, there was again shift. There is now the mayor now, the new MEC now, and so forth. I don't know when Free State is going to be stable in terms of its MEC transport. But I just thought that, Chair, when you speak to the maybe let's get a DG, and once we have him in the meeting, we then able to push some of these things through so that they are active.
Let me see if it's
Yeah. I also agree with the issue of requesting the DG to come here. But also, I still believe the stakeholders should also be part of that meeting. Because when we move out of that meeting, we should move out these solutions that needs to be implemented. So that was my request.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am looking at maybe, you know, if you want to have a fruitful meeting and achieve, maybe, like, if we can have Tuesday and Wednesday next week, if possible. But we don't have a meeting next week. It's only on Tuesday.
You are recommendation. Because now nothing will happen. I mean, I need to watch it.
Okay.
Ma, continue with your recommendation.
Yeah, but I'm looking at this matter as a serious matter. Like, even when we met last time, we realized that it's an urgent matter that needs an urgent attention. To say, maybe if Tuesday is in the morning, can the chairperson apply for Monday? That we use Monday. We start on Monday and then to the after plenary also. That's my proposal.
Right. I want you to respond now. Let me give this opportunity to one of Member Hornell.
Yeah, chairperson, wanting to make a proposal, because I think this matter, I was in front of the committee while we were in oversight 2 months before the festivities. Now we're sitting again 3 days before the festivities. We must be able to get a long-term and find the instrument for the festivities, but we must be able to also try and come up with a long-term in this process. Because if we don't do that, we will come next year, festive season again, if it might come out. So I'm proposing that we are looking for a process which will be permanent, so we will foresee for a permanent solution. And on the one of the DG's reason, I also wanted to support Honorable Sankos, because the moment we speak for the DG in isolation, how are we to communicate to the stakeholders, which are the affected parties in this case, that this is what the DG says, and we have our history, because the DG will tell you something which is opposite to what the people tell you on the ground. So I want to support that. And on the last one, I think we must rather try and capitalize on Tuesday. And I think the sitting on Tuesday, when you do the thing, you can go deal with the people that think of them and make one thing. I think Tuesday, my proposal is Tuesday. Thank you.
Tuesday afternoon.
Honourable members, before I did it, I think this was just comment in addition to what you were requesting. But I wanted to give you an opportunity. Remember, you wanted to say something, and then I requested you to hold it so that you can give these members an opportunity to comment. Then I'll come to that one.
Okay. I don't want to be guilty of what many other presenters are often guilty of. Honourable Jacobs, very often I have this challenge where people don't respond to all these questions. And I was guilty as well. There was Maybe it wasn't a question that you asked. I think you made a comment, a suggestion. And I want to just say something about that. It's the suggestion you had about permits. 1 year probational, or let's say a short-term probation and a longer-term permit. I think we should look at that. I looked at it, but then I looked at the challenge of taxi operators becoming categorized. And then there's challenges that we will have to work through that. But I think with your and the committee's assistance, we can certainly come up with such a suggestion as part of our recommendations, Jim.
Honourable members, I think let me summarize it like this. I want to start new things, but to add on what you have recommended. Honourable Dow, I didn't catch what was your response, what was requested by Umama Temba in connection of maybe trying to secure for 2 days for this sensitive meeting. Therefore, I would suggest that maybe, you know, we depend on Parliament too much because we do have sections of programming, and I like to check because I know that maybe there will be a plenary next week, whatever. But what I would suggest to members is that, yes, Chief, I would request that allow us, in particular, yes, you can be chosen. Allow us maybe to come back to you, but avail yourself next week. If we are really, really, really genuine that this matter is serious, allow us to be flexible. And we know that next week, we know that next week is our last day. But I will appeal to members from all spectrum to avail themselves so that we get to this matter. Honorable Tao used to refer it as our legacy, something like that. Because it will depend on us. But another thing which I like to appeal is that to members who are so lucky, maybe people for them, let us speak with one voice. Because I'm scared by other people when we call them as stakeholders, to maybe quote some of our members to say, I hope to, because their understanding is not the same to our understanding. I don't want members to be misquoted. That is the reason why I'm saying, let us maybe minimize to link with them now so that we can speak with one voice. And then also, I will request that in our package, let's take, I know that ministers are busy. I can also witness that database. But let's try and get what happened from the leadership. Maybe minister or deputy minister today in the meeting. And then also let's get the people from the cross-border. There is an entity which is a cross-border entity, which is looking after the affairs of the cross-border. And the researcher, unfortunately so far, I need it here. Finish and come closer, please. I thought that it is necessary. Uwabu Jacobs is correct to say, let's call the stakeholder. But what I want you to appeal to my staff, or our staff, our team, is that they must make sure that in this stage, they get all parties involved. But I'm leaving this concern to my little experience. Because normally, what is happening with the Texas Association? The Texas Association may be based in the state, but their head office is in Joburg. The Texas Association may be based in the state, but their taxi office is in Marikana. Some of the taxi associations, they are in Lesotho. Because we must be careful the type of people whom we are dealing with. But let's try and get the people on board as much as we can. And you know what I was thinking from our side as well? Researcher, what is your take? Maybe we involve one person from legal fishing, internal, just to observe. Just to observe from our side, because I was very much impressed. Your document also indicates the references that where have you taken the information at the back. He refers a lot of people to the department on the whole thing. You know, I was just checking around that what came in. And then lastly, my comment. I wanted to sensitize the members why I insist that we get a minister. Remember, we wanted to propose that there must be an inter-ministerial about this matter because it involves foreign countries. That's why the issue of the memorandum of understanding was signed within SADC. And in your proposal, somewhere in one of their recommendations, you spoke about a visa which is a universal, equivalent to Schengen visa, that it must be introduced. I don't disagree with you, but I wanted to comment with it. My own legal experience, I was serving in Home Affairs a time ago. We had a lot of recommendations within SADC, within our counterparts, in terms of the borders. But I know what was happening. Most, for example, we started with the thing when 2003, we tried to pursue people like in Swaziland and Mozambique and Zim, those who are clear to us, the other side, that these, even Lesotho, we even went to Lesotho, that required that our borders to be one office to be used, one office. Unfortunately, the concern which was raised by other countries was that they don't have capacity as South Africa. For an example, South Africa is able to accommodate the staff at the border. They don't have capacity to accommodate the staff at the border. And then also South Africa is having all these gadgets. We call talking about this system. Because the key fundamental thing also is that the system doesn't talk to each other. But nevertheless, I was motivating that it is necessary from the ministry side that to send somebody so that they can be taken on board to prove, to show this thing, how sensitive is this thing. By saying that, lastly, I wanted to remind you, researchers and members, that this thing is a long, long outstanding thing. Subject for question. Since 1998, they did not have a racial of issuing pens, a system of issuing pens. And you were quite right about this thing of 2 months in the queue. And also about the cost. In your recommendation, I think, honestly, as maybe we recommend that they issue a 1 year as a provision, and then after a period of 5 years to be a permanent license. And then lastly, the issue of illegally tax rent. That is the last one. But nevertheless, I'd like to thank you once more, honorable members. I think this one, it was not a presentation or a briefing. Also, I repeat what I said earlier on. It was like an education, something, because we were learning some of the things and the cons and the pros of this matter. But nevertheless, and let's go to the second, which won't take so long. The first part of this, I think it's we agreed that we gave a green light that we continue with this document, we don't with your research, but also with our recommendation, we have endorsed some of the recommendation. Then for the members, Mama from PLG, we request you later to give us 5 minutes.
Please.
Yes.